Hi, everyone. Welcome, everybody, to the second edition of the SLAS President's Podcast. And this edition, we're taking a look back at the Building Biology in 3D Symposium that just happened a couple of weeks ago in Cambridge.
The SLAS 2023 Building Biology in 3D Symposium took place last month in Cambridge, United Kingdom. What were some of the highlights?
It was a fantastic gathering. We had about 100 scientists from all across the world attending with a focus on 3D cell culture, 3D biology. And it was really nice to see how a couple of emerging topics came up. I think a very important one that we saw was adding more complex biology to these models. There was a fantastic presentation by Roche on vascularization in 3D models. The University of Lisbon presented on immune-competent models. And I think it really paves the way. Modern 3D cell culture tools allow us to integrate aspects of the biology in these models which were not possible in 2D, and it was really fascinating to see. A second really exciting part of the conference was focusing on readouts. 3D cell-based models have a lot of information that can be revealed, but we need readout techniques that are coping with that. So high content imaging, of course, was one of the key topics here, but the whole aspect of spatiotemporal analysis was super interesting. Light sheet microscopy in a scaled up, automation compatible way, I think was very exciting to see. And then aspects of single cell analysis come up. So not just looking at the tissue as a whole, but also looking at single cell populations. So really exciting.
What inspired SLAS to host a symposium centered around 3D biology?
The large SLAS conferences, so in SLAS International in the US and also the European conferences, which gathers a lot of attraction and attention over the past couple of years, they already have a lot of 3D cell culture work that is presented as posters, as presentations, and also as short courses. But the idea of the symposium is to create a more intimate setting where researchers and vendors and industry providers of these technologies can come together and focus on a very particular topic. So it creates what I would call a high-density networking opportunity between solution providers, researchers, and academia and industry. And so it's a lot easier to get together as a group than in a larger conference where you have a couple of thousand people attending.
What are the particular challenges of 3D cell culture regarding automation and readouts?
So 3D cell-based models, independent of whether they are spheroids, organoids, or even more complex organ-on-a-chip systems, they are complex, right? So they consist of very often different cell types, not just a single one. Of course, they are three-dimensional, so you have a whole new dimension to deal with. Very often, you also look at time axis changes of biological readouts. So I believe it's quite important to find ways to elucidate the wealth of information that is kind of hidden in these 3D tissues. And of course, there are assays which take the tissue as a whole. You could look at size, you could lyse the tissue and measure ATP. And I think these are very valuable. They're very scalable. They're fairly low cost, but you also lose a lot of information. And if you take a deeper dive and you look at imaging and you do Z sections to reconstruct a 3D model, or you dissociate the model into single cell suspension, and then you run these single cells to analytical tools, or you extract RNA and you run transcriptomics, you can look at the proteome and so on. So there are really interesting ways to look into these tissues and gather information that later on allows you to make decisions in your drug discovery and drug development process. Also, from a technically handling perspective, especially spheroids and organoids, they are single biological entities, and to move them from well to well, to lyse them, to embed them for histology. These are all new challenges from an automation perspective that people are working on. But year after year, we see how we manage this better, how we do it better, and how we turn this emerging technology into an industry-grade tool that we can just use and enjoy the data.
The FDA Modernization Act gives preclinical models a level playing field with animal testing. How will this impact the use of 3D cell culture in the future?
So the FDA Modernization Act, which passed House and Congress, I think just the day before Christmas last year, I think it was a great Christmas present for the whole industry, because it's something that we had been lobbying for a very long time. There are some great organizations like PCRM that have kind of trailblasted this in Washington. I think it's a real game changer. It will take time to be effective for our work and the work of our customers, but I think the signal is very loud and is very clear. There is a strong trust in human-based in vitro models, whether they're spheroids, organoids, organ-on-chip systems, iPS, derived cellular models, you name it. But they contribute their unique value by being of human origin and reflecting the true patient physiology. Of course, they are models, they are approximations, but so are animals as well. And with the FDA Modernization Act, once it's implemented into guidelines and procedures at the FDA, allows our customers to choose the preclinical model that they want to use for a specific experiment, free from the question, will this be accepted by FDA? Will they want to see animal tests or not? We create this level playing field, and it will be a huge help for the adoption of these new in vitro technologies in the next couple of years.
In your opinion, what challenges are preventing the more widespread use of 3D cell culture in the life science industry?
I think that's a really important question. A lot of the technologies that we see, especially in the organ-on-chip space, are innovations and inventions that come out of academia. They're very technology-driven, cool stuff, but not necessarily meeting the requirements of the pharmaceutical and biotech industry. Right? In pharmaceutical and biotech, you want robustness, you want reproducibility, you want scalability, because you might have to test hundreds and thousands of different conditions, and you want a kind of seamless integration into your existing workflows. And there is a lot of standardization that was introduced and developed for the market. SLAS, or one of its precursors, the Society of Biomolecular Screening, SBS, has defined a standardized platform that a lot of liquid handling devices and robots and imaging devices are adhering to. And we need to make sure that the technologies that we develop kind of integrate themselves into these workflows, right? We want to, and I speak from my perspective as co-founder and CEO of Inspiro, as a provider of this technology, we want to take problems for our customers off their shoulders, and we don't want to add additional problems to their daily work by figuring out how to integrate complex chip-based systems into their workflow. So really understanding what are the end users' issues and what is the simplest and yet sufficient way in solving these issues, I think this is a bit more thinking that we need to invest from the technology provider's perspective. So at the end of the day, I think over the past 10, 15 years that we've been in this business, and many other great academic and industrial researchers, technology has really matured. And today, doing a 3D cell-based assay is as simple as doing a conventional 2D assay. You just need to pick the right tools, and you need to figure out what is the answer that I want to get answered as an end user, and then what is the solution that's as complex as necessary and as simple as possible to solve that question. And I think to navigate the plethora of different technologies out there and picking the right one for your application, to me, that's the biggest challenge. And it's our job as technology providers to develop the applications and show how they work to help end users navigate that space easily. Before we close the podcast, I'd like to give my thanks to the program committee of the Building Biology in 3D Symposium, Tim Spicer, James Pilling, Peter Sederberg, Mark Bickel, and Neil Garga. They've done a fantastic job putting this event together. I know there's a lot of work that goes into it, and the attendees have appreciated it a lot. Thanks very much to the team. Thanks for listening, and tune in next month, or I hope to see you at one of the next SLAS events. Bye-bye.